Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good, not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful to be alive among the living and an opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. You on the call this morning, not a member of the Church of Christ, our very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. Yes, we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary in Jerusalem. We never saw that with our eyes. We believe it because of this book. It was him that suffered on that cross, shed his blood, that according to this book will wash our sins away in baptism. Revelation 1 and verse 5. And the same blood purchased his church. That church, there's only one church in the Bible, and it is the Church of Christ. And for that, we don't apologize. We just tell people they believe that the Bible is right or they don't. We do believe that it's right. Therefore, we follow the command Jesus gave us. When he resurrected from the grave, he gave the command in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Went to all the world and preached the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we've done. And the Bible says the Lord adds to the church, one church, Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord adds to the church daily since you should be saved. So to save the end, that church is the Church of Christ. Now, if you're on the call this morning, you remember the Lord's church, you follow by the wayside. Amen. Jesus died so you could get up. No such thing as once saved, always saved. Let's repent of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, to be saved, be baptized, and after become a Christian, then you must confess your faults one to another, pray one to another. And if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we can maintain that fellowship. 1 John 1 and the following verses, 5 and the following verses. And then you walk in the light, you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So that's the process of being saved and staying saved. So we welcome you to our call. Now, this morning we want to just thank Brother M.C. Daniel and his wife for putting together this supplemental song book. It's such a nice job on that. I appreciate that. Hope you, everyone has one. Song leaders can be consistent and we can be consistent while singing. So we want to thank them for their efforts, labor in the Lord. This morning, continue our study of the book of Acts. I really enjoyed Acts so far. It's been some interesting points that I've studied this book many times. Every time I study God's Word, something new comes out. And in this case here, with the book of Acts, it's been a great study for myself. And during the times of the pandemic, we're doing a lot of more in-depth study, giving us plenty of time to focus on our own lives, the study of God's Word, to meditate on that. Give us a focus that maybe we haven't had, some of us haven't had before. So in Acts chapter 9, we've studied about, we know him as Paul, or Saul was, last week we looked at the road of Damascus where he was converted. And now we're going to pick up in Acts 9:19, after his conversion, the Bible says that when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway, the Bible says, he preached Christ in the synagogue. We dealt with that last week after his conversion. He started preaching Christ and that he is the Son of God. I'm still preaching that same message today, that Jesus is the Son of God. And verse 21 said, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem? He came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Saul has a reputation here. But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I dealt with those scriptures last week. But this leads up to what we're picking up at verse number 23. Now, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, this many days, according to Luke's account, says many days, but Paul, in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says that these many days were like 3 years, he says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16 through 18, Paul tells more about what happened. Luke just given an account of it in the book of Acts. But Paul says in Galatians 1:16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So he's being led by the Spirit in his preaching. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He's talking about all the things that happened after his conversion. Now watch verse 18. Then after 3 years, then he tells us how long. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So there he is. He's bold 15 days there. So he was there. 3 years later, he's back in Jerusalem. This is where he's at now. So Saul, after his conversion, now preaching Jesus. And it's upsetting the Jews because they didn't believe in Jesus. And Peter had preached to them, and 3,000 of them obeyed. Saul is now preaching that same Jesus, and the Jews are plotting to kill him, like they killed Stephen, and they killed Jesus. And now they're trying to kill Saul. So the tables have turned. Saul was killing Christians, and now the Jews are trying to kill him. Notice this in verse 24. But their land of wait was known of Saul. Saul is aware that they're trying to kill him. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. He knew about the plot. Then the disciple, verse 25, took him by night and laid him down by the wall in a basket. Now look what's going on here. The same people that he was trying to kill, he need them now. I think there's a lesson here that we need to be reminded. Be careful who you step on. Be careful how you treat other people. Those very people will be the people you'll need. Many times we do it in our families. We don't think about the things we're doing to others and what the repercussions are going to be when we need them. So here he is. He's in desperate need of these disciples. The same one he was dragging out of the house and killing, he's now in need of these followers of Christ. It's also a message here that there are people who are Christians, the disciples of Christ, but not people who take revenge or respond to get someone back because they wronged them. So they're not vengeance. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. We know that. And some of us need to learn that lesson. And look at this in verse number 26. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples. He's trying to join in with the Christians. But they were all afraid of him. Notice that. And believe not that he was a disciple. But this doesn't surprise me at all. Saul's reputation is following him. It's been 3-4 years since they seen him. But the last they knew of him, he was killing Christians. So they're reluctant to trust him. There's a lesson for us here. Just because you have changed, don't mean people are going to forget what the things you've done. And that's why it's important to know that our reputation, even though we obey the gospel, that reputation continues to be our reputation of our past, who we were. It can be positive or it can be negative. It can be a reputation that influences others to say, I changed, and so can you. It can also be a reputation that will prevent others from regaining trust in you on a fast pace. And I know a lot of times you hurt people, and you do wrong, and you ask for forgiveness, and you want them to trust you immediately, but they can't because what they're doing, they have a memory of who you were and what you've done. And maybe you have someone in your life who can't seem to get there on trusting you. You need to be patient. You need to be understanding that you done this. You caused this distrust. And because you caused it, then you need to be accountable and responsible for your own actions. And when you're doing that, then you won't be upset at the person who can't trust you anymore, who have a lack of trust in you because your actions brought on this distrust. Now, this happens in all kinds of relationships. It happened in family relationships, happened in marriage relationships, happened in church relationships. Of course, now we're not talking about forgiveness here. We're talking about distrust. Someone can forgive you, but not necessarily trust your behavior. For example, if you're a child that was on drugs using alcohol, that's your history. That's what you've done. Yes, you've changed, but they still going to be reluctant to leave stuff around you when you were stealing from them before because you was on crack addiction or your behavior with that, something brought on by alcoholism or whatever it is, or drug use, then they're also reluctant to give you all of that trust back immediately. Doesn't mean they haven't forgiven you, but to give you that trust means I cannot, I'm not being wise totally, really, because I know what you have done, and you need to rebuild your reputation to that. Someone can say, well, and one thing about this person, they really did make a good change. So that's a lesson there for all of us. It happens in marriage. Your husband lost the trust of his wife. He wanted back overnight. The wife lost the trust of her, and she wanted back overnight. Well, now, those of us who are members of the church, Lord, we understand patience is virtue. We have to be patient with our wives and husbands, our wife or our husband. You got to be patient. Work with them. Regain the trust. Do the things you know you didn't do. Start doing right if you weren't doing right. Continue to do right. It's not about forgiveness always. Sometimes, well, you can't forgive me. No, it's not that necessarily. It's not that. Maybe they haven't. I'm not trying to give them credit. They only them and God know if they truly forgive you. Some people will say, I forgive, but I won't forget because they haven't forgiven. They say, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person who truly has forgiven you, but they have the pains of the past. It's kind of like having a sore. You know, when somebody cuts you and it scabs over, that cut is not healed. It's got a scab on it. So you have a scab there, right? So what happens, if any of your behaviors look like what you used to be, or you go back to who you were, you go pull that scab off and go start back bleeding again. Why? It wasn't never healed. So your wife is not healed, or your husband is not healed. So every time you go back to some of your past, it can be simple things like things you said before, how you said it, the tone of your voice, the way you raised your voice, the way you behaved, the way you got angry, the way you talked back to your husband, the way you talked down to her. Pull the scab back off. Pull the scab back off of her, and she's right back to where she was. Then he's right back to where he was. It happens in all kinds of ways. Family relationship, brothers and sisters, family, children and parents, it happens. So that's what I want to talk about. That emphasis there from that verse there is a reputation. Things in your past, people don't forget. Now, there are those who will back you up. Notice this in verse 27. But Barnabas, see, here's a Barnabas here. Hopefully there are some Barnabas in your life. You always want somebody that's going to stand with you when you're trying to make a good change. Boy, that's nothing better than somebody that give you a chance. You know, God gives a chance over and over and over. Human beings seem to give you a chance once or twice, and then they give up on you. We don't give up on folk. Barnabas took it. There'll be some Barnabases in your life that won't give up on you. They'll give you a chance. They'll continue to give you a chance. They'll help you, try to get you back on the right track. Barnabas took it, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Yeah, Barnabas stands up to Saul. I mean, God, you know, I know what you know of him, but I've seen him in action. See, actions speak. You know, you can talk a good talk, but actions speak. People watch actions, too. And he said, I can tell y'all the actions. I know you know his history, but let me tell you what I've seen. See, when people... And that's the other thing. You got the Barnabas in there going to also pay attention to your actions. You said it. I believe because I see action. Action speaks. That's what somebody said. Action speaks. They do. They do. You don't have to run around to me, hey, look at me, I made change. If you made change, they're going to see the change. And you may be in a hurry for them to acknowledge your change overnight or in a hurry. Barnabas were with him for a while. Barnabas said, hey, I see these things this guy did. I seen how he had seen the Lord. He said, I know about that. How he had spoken to him, I know about that. And I seen him preaching boldly in Damascus. So Saul, Barnabas stands up to Saul. When you decide, if you're on the call today, and you decide to make a change, understand who sees the change first. who know you truly changed. That's God. See, you can't be disturbed because somebody in your life don't want to see your change. Someone don't even want to accept your change. Or someone don't want to support you doing your change. But you got to be accountable for your own actions. When you decide to make change, there will be those who will pay attention. They will notice your change. Here's the other thing I want to say. People who are Christians have loving hearts are real friends. They're going to stand with you as long as it's the truth. They know it's the truth. Barnabas knew that it was the truth. And I thank God for people like that. When people know the truth, you don't have to go around and say, I'm innocent. When you live the life you live, and you know you have told the truth, you don't have to repeat it trying to convince people. I'm begging them to believe you. When you know you've told the truth, you told the truth, and you stand on that. And you let God do the rest. You don't have to beat it in someone's head to make them love you or trust you. When they love you, they will give you a chance. That's what I'm saying. It's not, I have to walk around looking, put a sign on my back. Hey, look at me, I made change. I'm a Christian now. I'm not like I used to be. The people who love you are paying attention to your change. And they're going to stand with you as long as they see that you're standing. Truth prevails. No matter what a person think of you, how they think you is like you used to be, if the truth is you've changed, then you got to hold to that. You got to hold to you knowing and God knowing you have changed. Because at the end of the day, some of your friends, family, or those who say they love you will never believe you changed. That's just the way people are. Christians learn to understand one thing. Everybody got a past. And before I start pointing a finger, I got four pointing back at me. So the best thing we all can do is focus on ourselves. I think I said that last week. Look at the mirror. Quit blaming everybody else and look at yourself. Quit worrying about what everybody else have not done or what they should be doing and start looking at what you need to be doing for you. What are we really trying to do? At the end of the day, we're trying to get to heaven. Why? Because we already know the death day is coming. That's why we Christians. Not so everybody can be pleased with us, everybody can believe us, or everybody going to be on our side and our team, going to team up with us, or everybody's going to be the person who does you all right, nobody do you wrong. That's not living a realistic life. You got to know the people in your circle. Some people in your circle ain't for you. But I'm going to tell you who will always be for you. God. If God be for you, who could be against you? What is this lesson this morning? These main emphasis I'm putting on that. You and God got to know about your change. You got to understand there will be Christian people around you who do love you, friends who are truly your friends, that will help you doing the change. They'll be with you. They'll give you those chances to prove yourself. But at the end of the day, it's on you to prove it. It's on you to live it. It's on you to believe you're living it the way you say you're living it. And only you and God know the truth. So I say to those listening who may be disturbed about what others may be thinking or feeling about you, or the person you want them to be, you want that person to so bad to love you, so bad that it ain't going to happen until they're ready. Until you've done your part, and then they too have to do their part. Well, you know, and then there will come a day where you just got to cut top. They're not going to ever get there. They're not going to ever get there, and you may never regain your trust. Now, let's go to verse 28. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. See, when people really want to take you out, they don't stop. They don't stop. You see, that's my enemy there. That's people who not trying to help you, not going to give you that chance. That's an enemy. Notice it. Which when the brethren knew, somebody in his family, that's being church members, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Sarsus. So Saul is all the scene and no longer a problem for them in Jerusalem. Now, verse 31, this is where I really want to put my main thought this morning, and this very serious going to come the main thought of what I want to continue to show. And the Bible says here, now watch, pay close attention when Saul is off the scene and the troubles are gone, the death threats are gone, and God has removed a problem. God can remove a problem. Saul was a problem for the church at the time. But Jesus dealt with him, blinding him. Light from heaven shined in everlasting. But look at this. Then had the churches rest. I mean, congregations. Not different churches across the world like we see today. There was only one church at the time. These were different congregations, different cities. All of them came to a place of rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And were, notice this, watch the point now, were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's my sermon title there. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Let's read that one more time. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, were edified. The churches were edified. Then look how they started to live. They started walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. Now, this is important. The churches are at rest. It means there's no trouble after Saul's departure. Few years later, now it took a few years to get for them to be confident that the problem was gone. And when the church is in a big uproar over something, it takes time to get the church back at rest, a place of peace. That's what we're talking about here. That's why we should make sure that we understand that people who are causing havoc on the church can put the church in a place where they're not at rest. So had Saul done here. It's important for us to remember that when the church is not at rest, there's going to be some chaos. There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some unrest. But you can be built up, edified when people do, when things come to a place of peace. And then the church can start growing. Congregation's got to learn, when the church is not at rest, it's going to be hard to grow the congregation. But the result always of walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit is growth. Spiritual growth, numerical growth. People are growing in the Lord when they're walking in the fear of the Lord. So these are the points of reference I want you to put up here. When we're at peace, we're going to be encouraged, built up. Unrest causes discouragement. I think all of us who've been in church probably long enough to know, and when the church is going through some trouble, it's discouraging. It puts you in a downward spiral of one who's not going to be at peace. Because when something's going on that's sinful or things like that, people are not walking in the fear of the Lord. And they're not going to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about that a little bit. Walking means living. So when we live our lives according to what the Bible teaches how Christians are to live, it will have a conduct, a manner of life that's guided by the Holy Spirit, which only will bring peace. Colossians 1:10, the Bible says, Paul says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing, notice this, here's how it happens, in the knowledge of God. See, when people are studying like you're doing this morning, you're in the Word, the Spirit will teach you, the more you know, the better you're going to be able to live. So many people cannot walk in the Spirit, in the fear of the Lord, because they're not guided by it, because they don't have the knowledge. And if that means you're not going to Bible class, or you're not connecting to the conference calls, listening to the Word of God every Sunday, Wednesday night, this is how you grow and learn how to live, and your conduct will be that of a Christian. Your behaviors will be that of a Christian. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says they were both righteous before God. Notice this, walking, what do you mean? Not physically walking, living. Walking in all the commandments, see that? And ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So here it is. They were walking in all the commandments. So walking in the fear of the Lord is keeping the commandments that God gives you. And another one, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received the birth, Paul says, how you ought to walk, notice this, and to please God. So you would abound more and more. See, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, it's not walking around with some of you afraid God is going to give you, hit you with a lightning bolt. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the same thing Solomon was talking about, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter with fear God, that's respect, and keep his commandments. When you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you're going to keep the commandments, and you will learn, you will forgive. When you know how, when you learn to forgive, you will forgive. When you learn to love, you will love. That's how it works. So people who can't love haven't learned to love. People who can't forgive haven't learned to forgive, because they're not walking in the knowledge of the Lord. They're not walking in the fear of the Lord. They don't respect God. You know they ain't going to respect you. That's what some people are. They don't respect God. They ain't trying to keep his commandments. But this is to us. This lesson is to all saying to us that we will have to get to heaven, brothers and sisters. We will have to walk in the fear of the Lord. In other words, as Paul said, walk, live to please God. 1 John 2 and verse 6. John says, he just said he abided in him all himself also to walk, even as he walked. The idea is that of travelers who are going from any place and who walk in the right path. Notice this, as Christians, our travels through this world is to another place called heaven. And let's be clear on this. If we're not going to be guided by God, we're not going to make it to heaven. If we're not going to, see, some of us, we're so into the worldly way of thinking. You hear this when you hear people talk about it, even just simple stuff. You hear them, you're not focused spiritually when you're so caught up in what's going on in the world that you get angry over any little discussion. People can't talk about nothing with you, you get mad. You're angry because you're of a political view. That's what we see most of going on there. I just amazing. You're a Christian. Why are you getting angry because somebody says something you disagree with? What is really, you're not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. That's not a conduct of a Christian. You shouldn't let that disturb you because someone has a different opinion or view of a matter that has no significance to your heaven, to you getting to heaven, and you all upset and shook up and fussing and getting angry and your blood is boiling because somebody said something against you because you're a Democrat, or somebody said because you're a Republican. I'm just saying. I just say what I'm thinking. What you're a Christian. It doesn't matter what somebody else's view of something going on in this world. That doesn't bother me. That's your view. That's your entitled to it. It's okay with me. I'm trying to get to heaven. Certainly, you got to understand everybody got an opinion like a nose. It's an opinion that has no significance to me getting to heaven. What has a significance to me getting to heaven, and we need to nail this, Christians. We need to nail this because there are families who can't even sit in the same room and talk to each other without somebody getting upset over some view. That's ridiculous. There's no love involved in it. And you're led by the spirit that's not of God. When you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you dismiss that kind of stuff. You dismiss it. Christians, as we live the Christian life, understand walking in the fear of the Lord. You know, I don't apologize for them things, because there's so many people who need this. So many people who need it. We look at the racial unrest we have in the world. Look at all these opinions and all these side taking on stuff. Man, listen, trust me, this thing is bad in this world. What is the result of it? Is it because of the skin color? Is it because of a view? No, it's because of sin. Can't you understand? Why is this world in such a bad? Oh, this world is so bad. That's what my daddy said. It was bad then. It was bad when Sodom and Gomorrah was. God, it was bad then. This world has been filled with sin since the days of Adam, y'all. Noah's days. Some of us, we can't live the Christian life because we're too caught up in worldly ways of thinking. Why? You ain't walking in the fear of the Lord. That's your problem. So guess what you ain't going to get? The comfort of the Holy Ghost. And why you get so upset? Because you're not confident. Because your focus is wrong. That's why. Yeah. Why? Look at this. Look at the result of it. Look at the result of it. Think about what I'm saying. They're edified, encouraged. You know, it's so good to be around people who are encouraging. You know what's discouraging? Negativity. Every time I'm around you, you're negative. That's discouraging to be negative all the time. That's good. Just waking up is good, y'all. Just knowing the Lord is good. Just breathing good air. Just being able to be on a ventilator. We can be encouraged, built up when there are positive things going on in our life because we're walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you that. That's the walking part. Watch the fear of the Lord. Let me give you some verses there to go. Fear of the Lord means reverence for Him, His commandments. That's what it means. Now, in 2 Chronicles 19:7, like this. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons. Look at that. The fear of the Lord, there is no iniquity. Nothing violates God's law. Nor you will treat anybody differently from what you want to be treated. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. That means the person who hates you, don't you know that? That means the very person who you can't stand it. That person, you have a respect for. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you won't do that. Let's look at another verse. In Job 28:28. The Bible says there, and unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord. Notice what he says. That is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What's wisdom? To walk in the fear of the Lord. What will it bring about? It will cause you to leave evil and start having a good understanding of who you are, what you're trying to do. That means understanding that we say, you know, I'm 60 years old now. Well, that just means you're closer to them. Don't you know that? That's a countdown, not a count up. We start counting down from the time we're born. Think about this. When a baby's born, we say, how old is he? Don't call me old. We've been calling you old since you were a baby. We say, how old are you? What do you mean? We understand. Hey, you're aging. That's called aging. And the more you age, the closer you are to on your way out. I think back to my childhood growing up. Generations. When I was a child. And the people in my community around me, my uncles and aunties and all that. Those generations have passed on. When I go back to my hometown, guess what? I'm in that generation, I realize. I'm in the generation now that's passing out. Do we have time to waste, y'all? Well, go back to your hometown then. Go back to where you grew up and see if those any of those people are still there. And then wake up and smell the coffee before you drink it. The truth is, you're on your way out too. And someone else will live in that same house. Drive your car. Wear your clothes. Because life ends. Seems to me you put that kind of stuff in perspective. And you start being at rest, walking in the fear of the Lord. Why? It's wisdom. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Enduring forever. So when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, there's going to be a clean living. So you start getting rid of some things. Hatred, bitter, envy, strife, gossiping, fussing and fighting, filled with anger, leading to wrath. You see Christians acting like this. Why are you so angry? What's going on with you? Why are you so easily provoked? Maybe you need to look in the mirror. By walking in the fear of the Lord, so you ain't getting caught by the Holy Spirit. Look at another verse. Psalm 111, verse 10. This is what the Bible said there. The psalmist said there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What's the opposite of wisdom? Fool? A fool. That's what Solomon says. A fool who don't fear God. It's a fool who don't understand that I got to fear the Lord and walk in respect and keep his commandments. It's the beginning of calling somebody wise. So is that person wise? If they don't fear the Lord, they're not wise, y'all. They're not wise to not fear God. A good understanding. Have all day to do his commands. See that? Fear the Lord and go keep the commands of the Lord. Well, I got a good understanding. Guess what my goal is as Christian? Is to get a good enough understanding to be called somebody that's a wise person. Can you walk away from a fuss? Can you avoid arguments? Can you just stop talking when you feel yourself, your blood boiling? Are you really trying to live this life? If you're the Lord in the beginning of wisdom, how would you classify yourself? Somebody who's wise based on this sermon? Let's look at another verse. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Not only wisdom, but so there is something called the excellency of knowledge. That's the word of God. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of you obtaining knowledge. And not just any knowledge, the knowledge given to us by the Holy Spirit, which is going to make the next connect. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So we get this tight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom comes from above. The wisdom that comes from above is from God. And you can't know what God wants if you don't have the knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. But that's what the wise men said here. A person who don't want to do right toward others, they despise the wisdom and instructions. What kind of instruction? Spiritual. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and a profitable for reproof, correction, instructions. So who gave us the instruction? The Holy Spirit. You'll be back. I'm going that way. I'm headed toward that comfort. See, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you've been guided by the Holy Spirit. But you're a fool. They don't want no wisdom. They don't want those kind of instructions. They prefer to be the same way they always been. You know what they're going to say? That's just the way I am. Right? That's just the way you are, huh? Everybody's got to accept you like you are. No, the problem is you have not decided to walk in the fear of the Lord. That's a statement of somebody who don't want to make change. That's somebody who wants you to accept their behaviors as something just comes with them. And I'm saying today, that is not the problem. The problem is you have chosen not to walk in the free will. You can control your behavior. You can control your anger. You can control your outburst. You don't have to get all upset over nothing. Look at this. A couple more verses. Proverbs 19. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge is of the holy. Who's holy, God? Is understanding. And then Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despises the word. But here's the problem. You're not trying to do what God told you to do. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. What's the result of us not walking in the fear of the Lord? You lose your soul. I don't know who needs this, but I guarantee you, there are many on this call. I can look at myself and see the time where I didn't do this. But he that feared the commandment shall be rewarded. Well, walking in the fear of the Lord, man, when I make a mistake, I have to make a confession. I have to admit my faults. Confessing your fault means admitting, you know, I messed up. I went against the command of God. I got to get this right. But you know you got to get it right, or you're going to lose your soul. You're going to be destroyed. That's what he's talking about. In other words, you're rejecting the commands of God. Then he says, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, I've talked about the walking. I've given you a Bible what walking means. I've given you a Bible for in the fear of the Lord means. Now, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit produced this. John 14, verse 16 through 17, Jesus knew his disciples would need this lesson. So he told them, in John 14, he said, I will pray, verse 16, the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Here he comes, he's going to tell us who it is. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he said, the world with you shall be with you. See, here's the thing. When you obey the gospel, you obey the Spirit of God. When you read the scripture, you're being led by the Spirit of God. And that Spirit will bring peace. That Spirit, when you follow God, you have comfort. You don't get shook up over anything. Well, you know, I'm just all stressed out. Well, maybe because you're not thinking about what God is doing for you. You're not being led by the Spirit. You're not letting the comfort of being a child of God be a comfort to you. I'm going to tell you why. Let's go to Romans 5, 1 through 5. Let me show you something here. Because if we believe, brothers and sisters, that we're going to live in this life and not have no trial, not have no tribulation, not have to work on ourselves, we have to face the facts. And we're going to find the comfort we need, so we got to have this information. Listen to verse 1, Romans 5. Turn there. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's belief, when we start operating by faith, come by hearing, hear by the word of God. So they're back to that. What you're saying, what Jesus said, he's the word, the Spirit of truth comes from the word of God. Back to what we talk about with him, it's the word of God. Okay, now, when we're justified, we declare not guilty by our belief. Now, notice what comes with one who follows the faith, the word of God. We have peace. See that? With God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. That's somebody looking for heaven. Not only so, notice this. We glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that whatever that pain is that's coming into my life, it's just going to work with patience. Remember we were talking about earlier, if somebody hurt you, you just got to patiently wait. You got to wait on them that you hurt to give you your hope. So you might be going through some stuff in your life, in relationships, then you got to be patient. But tribulation, that helps you, but be patient. Notice, once you get patient, in verse 4, experience. You know, if we didn't go through some things, we can't help nobody else. If we didn't go through some things, we couldn't help nobody else. I'll tell you what, I just give you my, you know, you lose a loved one you love. You lose, and that becomes an experience. Something you go through in your life comes this experience. You see yourself get through it, and you get past it. And you look back at it. That was an experience, man. You could tell somebody else about it. Now, 2 years ago, I couldn't tell nobody what it was like to be a widower before November 8th. And this whole experience is not over. But I could tell you a whole lot more about it now. Because I could have told you in 2017, I couldn't have told you what the experience was like. But see, I had to patiently work through this, losing my wife. That's my personal story. You got your own. I'm going to talk on that. But it took time. It ain't over yet. But I had to be patient to work through it, to feel it, to understand it, to deal with it, and ignore people who thought I should deal with it their way. I had to go through my own experience, and now I can share. Now I can talk. Now I can talk about these kind of things that I couldn't have talked about before. Experience brings hope. When you get through something, you got to experience. You got hope for the next one that's coming. Because guess what, y'all? Look at your family portrait. The faces that's gone remind us that there are more faces coming. You got to be ready for it. There's no way around it. But your last face is out there. Picture. You can't see it no more. Which is yours. Experiences. Experiences of life, y'all. You got to decide what you're going to do with it. To talk about marriage is difficult for me. Wow, I have a different experience. It's painful. And to talk about people who have marital problems, when you know you lost the person you love, that's an experience. And you look at them and say, man, you feel that's your wife. What y'all fussing and fighting about? Probably wasn't saying that before. What are you saying, brother? When I'm talking about y'all, this is a powerful thought that I'm sharing with you from the Word of God. It's from the bottom of my heart. Man, just listen. When we fear the Lord, comfort comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying. Look at this. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Notice this. By the Holy Ghost when you give it to us. Now that don't mean God gave us the Holy Ghost and he stuck it in our bodies. He's going to control our behavior. Don't. What he's talking about there is God has put the Holy Ghost. He's given us the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, which is the Bible. And when you read the Bible, the Holy Ghost is guiding you, because your spirit then is connected to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will never lead you into darkness or discomfort. It's going to always leave you in a place of peace. Why? God is the God of all peace. And people look at you and say, man, this person going through this, how they're still at peace? Because God, walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit means I have a peace that's past understanding. The world can't understand this kind of peace. Hopefully I'm happy. When you're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, you will have a peace that's past understanding. Because the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So, there's my main points for the message. Let me walk through this for the next few minutes here. Let's pick up in verse number. Look what the result of this happens to among them. That's all I really want to point out for the next few verses. The result of walking in the fear of the Lord is that the church was growing by leaps and bounds. Comfort of the Holy Spirit, they will multiply. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. He was paralyzed. And Peter said, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make thee whole, arise and make that bed, and he arose immediately. Now, maybe we have some Aeneases on the call this morning. You're in a bed of sickness. You need to be made whole. You've been like this 8 years, in a bed of alcoholism, drugs, sexual immorality, unfaithfulness, or sin sickness, whatever you're going through. You can keep down this path of destruction, or you can make your bed. Yeah, they say you made your bed. Lay in it. No, you don't have to lay in it. You can make it up. Is that what Peter told him? Make your bed. In other words, quit blaming everybody else. And get up and be responsible for your own actions. And make change. This is a lesson for us here. He was paralyzed. Some of us are paralyzed by our past, paralyzed by the unwillingness to obey God, walk in the fear of the Lord. Paralyzed. In your same situation. 60 plus years old. Just like you were when you were 40. 30. Same spirit, same behavior, same type of stuff going on with you. What are you going to make your bed? It's a lesson for fathers, husbands, mothers, wives, children. Surrender your bed. If you're a child, you can influence your mama by living according to the Spirit, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Your father, turning and changing, could influence your children and your wife. Your wife, turning and changing, could influence your husband. Turn and change. Make your bed up. In other words, focus on yourself. That's what he's talking about. Make your bed. You have a better marriage if you make your bed. Turn. Get up. Don't wallow in your old past. You want a better home? Make your bed. Turn and come to Jesus. That's what he introduced Jesus to him. Man, got up. You come to the Lord. You ain't got to live in your past. You can move forward. Make your bed. Want a peace of mind? Want some comfort? Make up your bed. Stop living in your past. Make change today. And start walking in this path of life. What are you doing? Walking in the fear of the Lord. Live like God told you to live. When you fall, get up. You have peace with God. And there was a Joppa, verse 36, a certain disciple named Tabitha. Watch what happens here. So this man is, because they're doing the things they're doing, and the Aeneas he got help, here come, there was a Joppa, a disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation called Dorcas. Y'all heard of Dorcas. And they always talk about Dorcas and all she did. I want to talk about what walking the fear of the Lord. That's interesting. I'm putting on how this is going to affect everybody else down the line. The woman was full of good works and all of these acts of charity, which she did. And verse number 37, and it came to pass in those days she was sick. And I, whom they had washed, and they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, he brought him into the upper chamber. They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments that was dark as made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, kneeled down and prayed, and turned him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows and presented her alive. Now, he had the ability to perform a miracle. You don't see nobody getting the dead of that. That's not our emphasis. We talk about all that, why that doesn't happen today. But we do have a Tabitha to kind of look at here. A woman who obviously walked in the fear of the Lord. Maybe there's a Tabitha on the call. You do good works. And others going to remember you come out of the good works you do. You're a Tabitha. Why are you doing all these good work? Why are you helping people? Why are you giving people? Why are you there for sick people? Why are you feeding people? Why are you doing the things you're doing? Why are you helping folks? Why are you making blankets? Why are you doing the things you're doing, Tabitha? Huh? Tabitha, I'm talking to you. Is it because you're walking in the fear of the Lord, Tabitha? What about those who are not the Tabitha? You know, you're not doing anything. You have someone else. Well, you ain't a Tabitha. Well, you can't be a Tabitha. A woman who helped young women. Women who helped sick members. Women who helped weak members. Women who helped feed the poor, hungry. Women who are using their talent to work in the ministry, do whatever they can. One of the greatest joy. I can speak highly of women in the church, sisters in the church, that are working, doing things for the cause of Christ. Blessings. That's those are the works of our sisters. These are the type of things they're supposed to be doing. Why? Because they're aged. They're mature. Mature Christian ladies will learn to live life. You know what they're going to be doing? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, sister, if you ain't in this category, then that's why. You're not in the category because you're not walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. This is the kind of woman that's walking in the fear of the Lord. Turn to Titus 2:3. Titus 3. And this is not a woman that, Tabitha wasn't a woman that was preaching in front of people doing things. That wasn't she doing. God never told women to be in the pulpit. That's our job. We're out there to fight the devil. We fight the wolf. The women ought to take care of home. Wives ought to take care of the children at home. Some of us men, we live, some of men, not me, Brother Brooke didn't do that. But you live so high, you got your wife working full time, and the kids going to daycare. Look what happens here. The design God has for those women to be at home with their children, raising them. Titus 2:3. The aged women, likewise, this is the woman that's walking in the fear of the Lord right here, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not giving them much wine, a drunk mama can't help her children. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, here it is, to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, notice this, keepers where? At home. Good, obedient to their old husband. That the word of God be not blasphemed. That's dangerous right there. When a sister don't understand these qualities. What woman would be this Tabitha? The one who walks in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I kind of wrote a song called a poem, as poetry. I call it a song called Just for Me. You know what? You don't know what you got to do. I never had to really cook or do anything, wash my own dishes. My wife was a keeper at home, and I never realized what that really meant. I helped occasionally, but the poor workload probably was on her. And I know, brothers, we all need to kind of pay attention to that. You know, I wrote a song to Just for Me. I wash my dishes just for me. I wash my clothes just for me. I cook my food just for me. Now I know what I had. May I have to do just for me. But God gives us, I'm talking to the brothers on the call. When you got a good wife that's taking care of all these things at home, show your love to her. Tell her you love her. Appreciate her. Because one day you may have to do it just for yourself. And listen, man, why can't Brother Brooks talk about that? Well, I got experience back, remember? One was five. Experience. Hope. Now I can tell another girl. Get ready, brother. You can be just doing just for you. And then you know what you got. Let's see if I can close this lesson out for y'all. I thank God for aging women. There are a lot of good sisters in the church. I can think of the falls on this category and see them, their behaviors and that of mature women. And you say, Brother Brooks, why is that person doing so well? Because they're walking in the fear of the Lord. and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So I dare not call a name, but I got certain sisters that come to my mind immediately. Mature sisters who I've seen live these lives, walking in the fear of the Lord, carrying out the commands of the Lord, and doing the things that they know will be pleasing to God. And those sisters will stand with you when it's the truth, because the church is at rest. And we're walking in the spirit of in the fear of the Lord and the call of the Holy Spirit, people grow. We grow, y'all. I've had some growth in my life, have you? Have you had some growth? Have you had some things that caused you to grow? You look back on it, those people you love are still with you. They're still encouraging you. They're on your team. They ain't looking down on you. They're right there with you. We're all in this race. One fall, we encourage them to get up. Edify. Courage do. What causes us to encourage someone? Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We can multiply and do better in life. Look at verse 42 as I close this chapter. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Look at all the results of all the things that happened after Saul. Look what happened here. When Saul went off the scene, and the church was at rest, and the Christians started walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, people started being saved, people were being baptized, many people were believing, the apostles were working, they were like, things are good. Right now, don't be discouraged by what we're doing. How hype. We are doing some powerful work right now. Thousands of people that we would never had an opportunity to speak to throughout nationwide. I feel like I'm working harder than I ever would. Meaning, I have more, not harder physically, I mean I'm doing, it's just we're reaching. If we get the concept of salvation and the need for the world to hear the gospel, you could not say this pandemic was bad. You could only say God gave us a way to reach the borders of the kingdom. You would be thankful to have a minister like me, not to pat on my back, but I'm saying someone who understands concept here is salvation. Every case where something's going on in the world, God has given us a way to reach the kind of gospel. I want to preach more now. I want to preach every day of the week. And the gospel meeting has given me the chance to be on the call 30 minutes every night, listen to a different preacher. It don't have to be me, but I know I'm getting fed by the word of God. I'm out there helping people be saved. Now I know this is my greatest chance to get to heaven and to grow spiritually myself. How about you? This is something powerful going on. Why? When you're walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, people will start believing. And we've never had this many people on a Sunday morning at our building. And yes, people are going to be negative. Yes, people are going to say we should be going back to dinner with 10 people there. But let me tell you something. It's hundreds of people on this call that wouldn't have been at that building this morning that I may have touched. Because when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, they're going to start having comfort. The Holy Spirit provides comfort through tribulation, through experience. And guess what? Hope comes with it. Do you feel hopeless? I'll tell you why. Because you haven't walked in, you're not walking in the Spirit of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You don't feel hopeless as Christians. We don't feel hopeless. We're saved by hope. What does that mean, Brother Brooks? And our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All of the ground. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa. We'll come back and pick up from there next week. I hope you're on the call and you've enjoyed the lesson. I know I've hit us pretty hard. I say us because I'm included in that number. This is not a life anybody can live without being instructed. All of us got to take the word of God. Take the bitter with the sweet. Take the word of God. Don't dismiss it. Oh, Tommy, how can he talk about somebody? Well, I ain't talking about somebody. I'm talking about me, too. But you got to talk about you. That's the best thing you can do. Talk about you. Because it's your soul. It's you going to stand before God. Don't worry about Tommy. I got to stand for him for myself. What you need to do is worry about you. And when you worry about you, then you start trying to walk in the fear of the Lord, and then you get the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, what do we do, you all, if you're on the call today? You said, Brother Brooks, what do I do? What do I get? How do I get started? So you start with the Bible. Do you believe it? If you believe the Bible, you believe John 3:16, that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe the Bible, then you believe that God sent his Son into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If you believe the Bible, then you believe Jesus hung on that cross after he had been brutally beaten and spit upon and mocked and whipped with a whip and then executed on the crucifixion, by crucifixion with nails in the hands and feet, you would believe that with all of your heart. That you would believe he suffered to save your soul, your sinful, wretched self that you are, like we all are. Oh, wretched man, as Paul said, oh, wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver us from this body of sin? Only Jesus could do it. Yes, we're wretched. That's why the song Amazing Grace was written. Somebody realized Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save the wretched like me. Until you can see yourself as the one who needed to be saved, you ain't going to obey the Bible. You got to believe the Bible first. That's where I started with. Believe it. Then if you believe it, then you believe they took him down off that cross. You believe they buried him in the tomb. And you believe he resurrected on the third day. That's the first day of the week, Sunday. If you believe that, it's because you read the Bible. And if you believe that, you call yourself, you want to be a Christian, then you got to believe that with all of your heart. You got to believe he suffered, bled, and died for you and resurrected with all of your heart. Believe everything about you, believe it. Without ever seeing it with your eyes, you believe it. Then you, number two. Once you believe here, do what you believe in, Acts 15:7, Romans 10:17, 11:6, you develop a faith. Once you got that faith and belief in the Bible that it's right, then the third step is repentance and making a change. Say, I got to make this change. I got to make my bed up. I got to turn this stuff around, repent of it, and make up my bed and not go back and get in that same old bed you've been in. Get up and make a change. Then fourth step is confession. Confessing you believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Acts 8:37. Then the last step is baptism. Baptism for what? The remission of sin. Acts 2:38. Baptism for what? To wash away your sin. Acts 22:16. Baptism for what? Because baptism is where you're saved. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism for what? Because Jesus commanded it. Mark 16:15-16. Go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he said. That should be. Shall be. When you walk into the fear of the Lord, you keep the command. If you fight against baptism, then you're not walking in the fear of the Lord because you ain't going to keep none of his commands. You're not a believer. Once you're a believer, then you believe in baptism. And when you believe in baptism, you believe there's blood in that water, you're going to get sin washed away, and then the Lord will add you to the one church. Which church would you believe in? The same one that's in the same book you believe in Jesus in. Which one is it? Romans 16:16. The Bible says, salute one another, holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. That's the one in the book. When you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you don't say it in any church would do. Because there's only one, Ephesians 4:4. Only one body, Colossians 1:18. The body is the church. Colossians 1:24, the body is the church. How many churches can you believe in? Well, how many gods can you believe in? But one. How many Jesus? One. How many Holy Spirit? One. How many churches? One. You say, well, I don't believe it. Then you're not a believer then. Your problem is going to die in your sin. Because you believe not. That's what Jesus said in John 8:21-24. Go read that. You die in your sin, well, you can't come. But you're not a believer. When you're a believer, you don't question the commandments of God. You walk in the fear of the Lord. Then you're going to keep every command. You should be taking the Lord's Supper this Sunday. Did you know that? Are you taking the Lord's Supper this Sunday? When you ain't walking in the fear of the Lord. Acts 20:7, Cyprus, they broke bread on Sunday. This Jesus said, this you do remember to me. How do you remember the Lord? Through communion. You're taking the Lord's Supper. Who doing that? Churches of Christ. What do we do? Take the Lord's Supper. Why? We follow the example of those Christians. In Acts 20:7, up on the first day of the week, Christians came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, they took a collection. No, they just gave their money. They took communion or something. Who did this? People walking in the fear of the Lord. After that, if you're baptized, you're in the church, then you let them live faithful. You live faithful. Be faithful unto them, Jesus said. Meaning, even if you have to die for the cause of Christ. And he'll give you a crown of life. That's what's happening. You're trying to get your crown. And so, members of the church, here's what we need to do. Those who are not members of the church, you got to be baptized and get in the church. You got to start following the command. Members of the church, you got to make a confession of faults. If you haven't been walking in the fear of the Lord, it ain't too late to start. You start now. Repent. What Jesus said, what John said, repent of your sin. He's just to forgive you. John 1:5 verse. He's just. You confess your fault one to another. All we got to do is confess our fault, ask God to forgive us, get up and get at it again. Keep walking in the fear of the Lord, and we'll get the call from the Holy Spirit. If you're on the call this morning, you need to come. We asked our song leader to come on now. Hit 5-star on your phone, and hopefully you enjoy the lesson. And you get to start your walk in the fear of the Lord, and you'll get the call from the Holy Spirit.